All right, day three, chapter three. Matthew, chapter three. So I guess we should do a quick recap. Jesus was born, they fled to Egypt, they started to come home, figured it wasn't super safe to go all the way back home, so they stayed in Galilee. In a city called Nazareth. So, now let's start chapter three. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his remnant of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So John the Baptist and Okay, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I need be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So pretty. I'm gonna take a minute to probably reread the first part of this and understand this a little more, and I might post some questions or thoughts on that here in a little while. But thank you for listening. Evening reading for day three is chapters 4, or sorry, 7, 8, and 9 in Genesis. And it's continuing on with Noah's story after God told him like how to build the ark and to get his animals in there and everything. So starting chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and male, or the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all of the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days, or for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So in 7 days, in a week. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls of every thing that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of the heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japhet, and sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. So, I think there was like an earthquake the same day, like stuff just went crazy the day that it started raining. That makes sense. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 14 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both the fowl of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8 of Genesis. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, lowered. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. They had gone away. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 7th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters deceased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up off from the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. So I think, from what I understand from the whole timeline and everything, is like it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and then on the 40th day, when like the rain stopped, that's when Noah sent out the dove, but the water stayed on the earth for 150 days, I think. Correct me, someone, if I'm wrong. So this is like saying what happened in those 150 days right now. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he set forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abate from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the 1st month, and the 1st day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Okay, so I lied. It was 40 days and 40 nights that it rained, and then the water was on the earth for 150 days, and I'm confused. Someone explain this timeline to me if you have the time. I'd really appreciate that. This is really hard to understand. Okay. Anyway, so the ground was dry after the dove returned with the olive branch. And in the 2nd month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried, and God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives, with thee. Bring with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings at the altar. And God smelled a sweet savor, and the God said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Genesis chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Okay, that answers my question from earlier on where I was wondering about vegetarianism. Okay, good to know. I'm glad to eat my steak. But flesh with the life thereof, which the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So don't eat each other. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. It's a different Canaan. Okay, Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brethren without, so outside. And Shem and Japhet took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew that his younger son, what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japhet, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So all of chapter 9 is like God talking about his covenant, putting the rainbow in the sky to remind himself that he's never going to flood the world again and destroy all of his creatures. And then, so Noah takes up farming and wine, becomes a wine connoisseur, and I guess he gets drunk one night, and I think this story is kind of cute, but a little harsh, like, I don't know if cute's the right word, but, so Noah gets drunk and passes out naked in his tent, and Canaan, goes in and sees him naked and is like, goes to his brothers and is like, ha ha ha, look, dad's naked. And so his brothers, instead of going and like looking at him and like mocking him, they take a cloak and they walk backwards and lay a cover over him so that he won't be naked and exposed anymore. And I think that's the big thing about, like, you know, just showing respect to your parents and your father, and understanding that, like, he's the only reason that everything's alive anymore, so he probably shouldn't be made fun of for getting drunk one night and passing out. Probably deserved it. Or, like, earned it, not deserved it, but deserves some rest. But I do think that, like, Noah saying, well, you're cursed now, child, you know, you're going to be the servant of your other brothers. Because, I mean, he was younger than them, maybe he didn't know, but at the same time, I don't think it said how old Canaan was whenever he did this, so maybe he was an adult and should have known, right? But I also don't know what things were like in that time either. So, you know, disrespect is a big thing. And maybe we should start cursing our children again for disrespecting their elders. Who knows? But that is day 3's reading. And I will see you tomorrow. So taking a minute to look back on Matthew chapter 3, the morning reading, I love the description of John the Baptist, because, like, John seems like, you know, like a good name, you know, like a everyone knows a John, and he's this, like, wild wilderness man who eats like locusts and wild honey, and he's like baptizing people in the Jordan River, just talking about God and spreading the word and telling people to repent for their sins because the Savior is here. Jesus is born, and he's here to save us. I tell you, keep closing this door. Okay, and that's kind of silly to think about, you know, a guy wearing a camel hair garment and a leather girdle about his loins, and eating locusts and wild honey, talking about God and and actually having people listen to him and be baptized by him. And then he said, or it says, but when he saw the many Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits suitable for repentance, and think not to say within themselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't quite understand this passage, but I know that there's a message that's supposed to be brought from it. And I can't figure it out. So if someone can let me know what the Pharisees and Sadducees are, if I don't look it up myself, and help me shed some little a little bit of light onto this and help me understand it a little bit, because I'm definitely wanting to understand this part a little bit more. A lot a bit more. So, but that's my own personal thoughts, and I think it's very sweet at the end when Jesus comes to John to be baptized, and John is like, "What? You want me to baptize you? Like, you need to baptize me. Like, I'm not fit to do that." And Jesus says, "You know, well, you're gonna have to do it because you're supposed to. Like, that's your job. Let's come on." And then once Jesus is baptized, then the Spirit of God descends over him like a dove, and it lights him up, and God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And when I read that part, there's a book called Life of the Beloved by Henry Nouwen, and I recommend that book to everybody. Go get it, read it. It's really cheap. I think I got a copy for like $8. If you live in Jefferson City, come to First Christian Church and we could probably find a copy for you to read at the church. But definitely read that book. There's a part in there that I might go ahead and record it, me reading it, because I had to call my dad and read it to him because it gives you goosebumps and makes you want to cry and just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's great. I really enjoyed it. So that is all that I have. I'll see you tomorrow. Now's the end.